All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Do Zach Hyman's 50 goals mean less because he's rich? Let's dig into it with the lead.
You've got to provide some context here. You got to play the bit of the video.
Yeah, we don't have it. If you missed it, there is a video going around on Twitter from a Montreal Canadiens blogger. Andrew Berkshire. You can go look it up yourself and find out. Who basically said, media is not reporting the full story on Zach Hyman. You should be talking about the fact his parents were rich. So today on Oilers Nation Every Day, we are going full investigative journalism on this, and we are digging up the T4s of every parent of the Oilers. And we're just going to really dig through who actually deserves to be applauded for being an NHLer.
Like, he's trying to kill the hardworking narrative of Zach Hyman's career. Like, look at his career, like, offensive performance trajectory. Like, he used to just score single digit goals.
Yep.
And his hard work at his craft is what's allowed him to score more goals, like almost consecutively year over year.
You see, Berkshire touches on that actually. And he wants everyone to point out, because no one's doing it, how lucky Zach Hyman is.
How privileged
he is to get to play the majority of his career with Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid. He's privileged to do that.
The assist king, Austin Matthews. Well-known
pattern. Yeah, well-known playmaker, Austin Matthews.
Yeah, well, how many assists does he have this year? Like, what are we doing? Anyways, welcome into Oilers Nation Every Day, everybody. Live from the Sports Closet studio. And it is a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. Check them out online, sherwoodford.ca. They got our boy BM in a new whip. I noticed Surveyor Brett went out to Sherwood Ford the Giant the other day and got himself a new whip. Everyone's going to Sherwood Ford the Giant. And so should you. Gonna have our Sherwood Power Sports and Marine Keys to Victory coming up a little bit later on in the show. There's a lot to us to get through. Murat Atesh from The Athletic is going to join us in a little bit to give us a Winnipeg Jets report and talk a little bit about their side of this matchup. We're going to talk a bit about the standings, what went down last night, all of that stuff. But
I don't even know what happened last night.
Didn't check any of the scores?
I didn't check. I was in bed very early last night.
Well, it'd be good to get a raw reaction from you when we read out the stats.
Oh, because I'm the biggest Blues fan right now.
Oh, boy. First of all, I just want to put a...
Thanks.
Yeah, that kind of...
Raw reaction out the window.
Yeah. I just want to get into that. That Berkshire thing. I know Oilers fans were fired up.
What are they saying?
And understandably so. I thought Christopher Palmer had a good one. If a rich family meant success, Mike Comrie would have had 2,000 career points. Like, here's the other thing, too. Doing this
And it's a problem in hockey. So like laughing about it is, you know, well, I know it is.
It's an expensive sport to play, but like to think if you're.
But the one thing
you can't say the reason why he scored 50 goals is because he's rich and try to discourage the hardworking narrative and nature of Zach Hyman. Like remove the hockey is expensive. It is a true thing, but not a relevant argument to what Zach Hyman has done in his career. This guy works his fucking ass off. And the thing we're trying to tell people, and it's not even necessarily, oh, if you work hard, you'll make the NHL. Like, no, like if you like, not all of us possess the ability to make the NHL, whether we work hard or not. But if you work hard, you will get the best out of yourself that you can, regardless of what it is. And that is the narrative. And yeah, he's using this as an opportunity to kind of blow it up, like, to become viral and whatever. That guy's interesting.
That guy sucks. Like it's just stupid because like, he's saying
it's not,
like,
it's not his first really horrific take.
Yeah. And he's saying that like, we're not talking about this narrative. Well, he's not talking about how Zach Hyman was never drafted into the Ontario Hockey League. You know,
yeah, but his parents bought an entire hockey league.
They bought like, the NCAA. They bought University of Michigan.
Yep.
And then they bought the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Sold them, bought the Leafs, or at least a small stake in the Leafs.
Yeah. Now, you know, be real. Yeah,
now they must be majority shareholders in Rexall. Like, let's follow the money, guys. Follow the money.
It's just
do your own research, as I always say.
Yeah, don't follow these mainstream media outlets.
Jesus,
Anyways,
it's just silly. It's just unnecessary.
Like, I don't care. Hate on the Oilers. I don't care. Like it's oil. You know, it's Oilers Nation versus everyone. That's fine. Hate like that's, but like this is a bad way to hate on us.
I was thinking about this the other day too. Like, why do we just have to crap on everyone's accomplishments? Like, not even just in Edmonton, but like the ones I think about, like obviously Hyman scoring when Tyson Berry was here, or all he gets is secondary assists.
His parents also rich.
Probably. Like some people like talk about Austin Matthews, like, wow, look who he scores against. And it's just like, well, no, he's a great goal scorer in the NHL. Probably going to be one of the best.
Yeah. I respect Austin Matthews' ability to score, but I can too. Still make fun of him.
He also followed it up with a great take on Carey Price. Carey Price, again, First Nations background, remote parts of BC. Berkshire wanted to point out that Carey Price had the advantage. His dad had a plane and was able to fly him to remote practices. So that needs to be pointed out in the story of Carey Price as well. Like, he is just, he's on fire. It's a really interesting run of takes from this dude. Anyways, we love Zach Hyman and you all know that. And again, if you wanted to start going through like, let's talk about how expensive Connor McDavid's private training was when he was 14 years old and up. Like, come on now.
Do you think if he didn't have it, like anyways,
whatever. We'll digress and move on. But I wanted to start the show with that just because I saw it and I listened to it. Someone sent it to me on my drive to work. I was like, I'll throw that on the old Bluetooth and give it a listen. And I wasn't even watching the video. I'm just driving there like, what am I for? This is 4 minutes of my life I'm never getting back. So we'll push that off to the side. Zach Hyman going for goal number 51, maybe more tonight as Edmonton takes on Winnipeg.
On pace for 59 this season.
Oh, imagine he hits 60. That should be the focus. Get him 60.
Well, yeah, you can get
50. Then what?
You now can get what? 50 with rich parents. 60?
Yeah, like you, I don't know.
So I go on, you do your thing. We'll get to that later.
Then it's a corporate conspiracy.
Well, I mean, first off, it was a 4 minute. I really want to move on, but there's so much to hate about what I listened to.
I can't believe, did you listen to all of it?
I listened to the whole four minutes.
I wouldn't even waste my own time with it.
Yeah, I listened to the whole 4 minutes. There's a part at the end where he's like, you know, Zach Hyman, blah, blah, blah. He's a player who is good at doing one thing, and it's going to the net.
Whoa, crazy.
Like, what? Okay, well, like, how come not every NHLer does that?
Austin Matthews is good at one thing, shooting the puck.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. If scoring goals are so easy, everyone would do it.
Exactly. That's living the blue plane.
Yeah.
It's an art in itself.
Yeah.
If more rich guys were interested in going to the net, we'd have a lot more 50 goal scorers in today's league.
We'd actually have a way worse league, too, if everyone just scored that way. It'd be so boring. Just everything's a
bad. If it was that easy, where everyone would just go to the net.
Well, but if it was just going to the net that scored goals, and it totally changes the game, and then opens up an opportunity for an Austin Matthews. He's like, you know what? I'm going to try shooting from distance now, just because everyone's focused about the guy in the post, and then that guy's going to score the goals.
Hopefully we never get.
Dackey, very interesting to decide to go after the single nicest guy in the league.
Yeah.
Just on the Hyman thing as well.
This is my stance.
It's not even like he comes off as like a prep, like entitled, whatever. No. Like he is by all reports.
Humblest guy going.
Matt Larkin covered the Leafs and tweeted this morning. He was like, man, I miss covering Zach Hyman. Or you know what it was? And we can pivot the conversation to this. That video of Zach Hyman mic'd up scoring his 50th goal. Cool. Oh, how unbelievable was that? Perry giving him a hug and Chris Knobloch coming over and telling him how proud he is.
Him almost in tears on the bench. Yeah. Like, you don't think it means something for him? You don't think he worked his fucking ass off to try to score 50 goals in the NHL and he's now realizing that moment and there's like this insane sense of pride that's overcome from all of the hard work, from all of the money he had as a kid coming and paying dividends?
Yeah.
And he's used to dividends because he's so fucking rich.
the moment with Leon was cool.
Very cool.
Like, he called his name before you even put the puck in the net.
And then they went back. They did the thing in the corner. And then Connor and Leon went back and circled to him after in front of the bench. Like, that's how pumped they were because that's who Zach Hyman is.
It was great. The one thing that made me chuckle, they refer to him in his full last name.
Hyman.
Like everyone does, though. And I'm wondering if there's some sort of joke in the room about it.
Why?
I don't know. Because you would think like...
Himes?
No, come on, Jay. I don't think that's it. But like you'd think they'd call him Himes or like some other short form. But like everyone was like, attaboy, Hyman, attaboy, Hyman. It was funny.
Bring Cassian home. Jeff Bezos, noted 70 goal scorer.
Tore up the WHL, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
He played for the Thunderhawks or Thunderbirds.
Go T-Birds. That's a good one from Cassian home. All right. You guys are on fire over in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. Let's talk a little bit of hockey here. Edmonton versus Winnipeg. Oilers wrapping up a 3-game road trip. Where they stop and looking to just get their first points of this road trip, which is really painful to say when you look at the out-of-town scoreboard and what went down last night. The LA Kings picked up a victory. They're now just 1 point back of the Oilers.
How many games in hand do we have?
Two.
Okay. Well, we play them on Thursday.
I know, it's a big one.
That race is suddenly close. And
it's a bad weekend.
Here's what I'll say about the importance of coming in second. I do think... And sometimes I talk out of both sides of my mouth on this one, but whatever. I do think sometimes home ice advantage in the playoffs gets like a tick overblown just because as great as it is to have game 7 on home ice, playing game 6 on the road is also not easy. I know it's a fourth home game and that is good, but sometimes I just think it gets...
But it's also the advantage of getting the series started.
And that's where I wanted to go specifically with the Edmonton Oilers. When you said Siri started, my phone thought you said Siri. The Oilers end the season with...
Hey, Siri, text Amber.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. The Oilers end the season with back-to-back games on the road on the 17th and 18th. Today, Frank Saravalli shared the schedule for the league that the playoffs are going to start on the 20th. You can jump to the logical conclusion.
I thought they started on the 22nd.
They were supposed to.
They're supposed to. The NHL wants to move it up so the playoffs can begin on a Saturday.
Clever, finally.
Well, it's smart. Scheduling.
I know, but yeah.
So the Oilers play on the 17th and the 18th. Logic would say they're going to start their playoffs on Sunday the 21st. They're not going to put the Oilers on that first batch of game on the 20th. And that last day of the regular season, if it's not all Western Conference games, it's predominantly Western Conference games. So it would make sense the East playoffs will likely start on Saturday. They'll start the West on Sunday. If you're the Oilers, after playing 17th and 18th on the road, I think you desperately want to fly home that night after the Colorado game.
As fast as possible. Maybe leave at the second intermission.
Yeah, like get some important guys on a different plane and be like, Connor, Leon, Stu, like you guys head back. Sam Carrick's going to play 18 minutes in the third period tonight. If you have to start on the road, all of a sudden you're flying out on the 16th. You're staying on the road for that run to play the first two games in LA. Who knows how spread out those first two games are?
Well, they would go straight to LA from Colorado.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm saying the Oilers
coming. Also not a bad thing. Just go and chill and like bond as a team.
I think you want to come home.
Well, you always want to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah. So I think it's really important for the Oilers to lock up home ice.
Another layer of it. LA's last four games are all at home. and they finish on the 18th as well.
So they're going to be sitting there on a nice, cushy 10-day homestand. You do not want to go into LA to start the series. I think it's massive. I think it's bigger than maybe people realize, because I don't think you want to be on the road that long.
Oh, man. I agree. I think just playing at home is obviously just important too. And it would almost be, it would be a failure at this point if they didn't get home.
I love what we're talking about playing LA. It still could be Vegas.
This could still fall into a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, not totally.
That will not happen.
We play Vegas and LA once each.
Those are big, big games.
Got to find a way to win those.
Big.
Just quickly, another thing too. I know the Lakers are a potential play-in team in the NBA, so that would play into the schedule as well, because that's right when the NBA play-in games that are supposed to be.
Last time, right?
Yeah. And it,
but they'd probably want the Lakers playing on a Saturday. Are you talking about maybe we might get pushed to Monday?
That's what I mean. Like,
we always get stitched by the basketball teams at crypto.com, don't we?
Also, for people who maybe want to go down to LA and watch the playoff games, it gives you, if the Oilers start at home, another couple of days to plan that all out. So I think it's really, really crucial for the Oilers to lock up home ice advantage in round one of the playoffs. And it also just opens up the door that if a Vancouver were to get upset in round one, then hey, who knows? Maybe you have home ice advantage in round two as well. And I don't think Vancouver getting upset in round one is the craziest of ideas ever, especially considering they might have to play the Nashville Predators, who are, they can't stop.
The Nashville Predators.
They are red hot.
Who would have thought? Who would have thunk it?
Okay. If you're going to do a little victory lap on the Nashville Predators, I'm going to take a victory lap on there's no playoff race anymore in the Western Conference.
Yes, there is.
Liam.
Lehman.
Red.
Lehman. Yes. I now know what that means.
I read to you Vegas is next three games. Can't remember what it was. That is an extremely difficult schedule.
They are 5 points up on St. Louis with a game in hand, Liam.
I get it. And I think they're now in last night, basically.
So I'm assuming Vegas won last night.
Yes, they did.
Was it a drubbing?
Overtime.
Oh.
St. Louis missed a penalty shot in overtime, and then Vegas scored on the next shot.
But it still would have given Vegas a point, which doesn't help. But
it
would have been a big game. So
they're still been a 3-point gap.
So St. Louis chance of first place done. St. Louis done.
Yep.
Well, Vancouver lost last night.
We're running out of games.
I ultimately think that yes, Vegas are the front runners 100%. I just don't think it's over. Like,
I really hope Markstone doesn't come back.
They've got Nashville next. What did I say? Vancouver, yep. Colorado, I think was the other one. Minnesota, really maybe. They only have two easy games to the rest of the way. I mean, Chicago and Anaheim in the last two games of the season. I don't know what St. Louis' schedule is.
Vegas is fine. They'll start.
I'll allow you to take a victory lap with the Predators.
Thank you.
I didn't believe you.
And they have as many points as the others now.
The Blues do have a somewhat easy schedule.
No, they don't.
Nashville?
They do?
The Blues?
88.
I said Nashville.
Oh, but we have points games.
Points percentages up and everything, but same amount of points. They might, they could sneak into the top three in the
Central. Liam, they're five points. There's 11 games left in the season, man.
Nashville's on a 5-game win streak and Winnipeg's sliding. I'm just
saying.
They
are sliding. Not out of the question. Continue to slide tonight.
They lose tonight. I think Nashville will play.
It is so, then it's
3 points.
It is so hard in today's NHL to make up those gaps.
I
totally
get it. I just don't think everything's as dead as you're making it seem.
Well, I think it is.
Well, there you go. We'll talk about it in 10 games, 11 games.
We will.
All right. I'll be right here.
Fighting Amish or
what? Mom and dad fight.
Hunter said, "What's St. Louis's schedule?"
Here we go.
Calgary, San Jose, Edmonton, Nashville. Who is the best team in the NHL? San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago, and then they end the year with Carolina, Seattle, Dallas. So they do play five pretty tough games in there,
and they also play San Jose twice. So that's 4 points.
You're saying the San Jose Sharks, who are 1-7-2 in their last 10.
Yeah.
They're bringing some teams over.
I don't know. As an Oilers fan, you can't really take it for granted.
Yeah,
it's true. Chicago and Anaheim.
God, San Jose might not crack 50 points this year. They're 40 points right now.
They're last.
12 to go. Yeah, they're dead last.
Wow.
That's
remember terrible. A couple of weeks ago in ONR, BM brought up those odds. And Chicago had the best odds, and San Jose was still plus 400 or something like that to be the worst record in the NHL. Sure.
I should have
jumped on that. Yeah. That would have been good.
You know, there was one bet in terms of the futures for the NHL that I'm very close to throwing a little bit of money on. and that is to win the President's Trophy. So the race for the President's Trophy right now is insane. You have the Rangers and Canucks at 98 points, and then you have Florida, Colorado, Carolina, Dallas, and Boston all at 97. That's like, there's realistically...
So throw a dart at one of the 97s.
So Boston is, I'm pulling it up right now on our friends at Betway. The Boston Bruins are 12-1.
Wow, that gets so
that's
many,
value.
So many overtime points too.
I know.
They're shady.
And then you look at Colorado, plus 375. They're dominant on home ice, and they have 7 of their final 11 on at home. Ooh. Including their last game of the regular season would be at home to the Oilers. And you might be able to look at that game and go, Edmonton's sitting everybody.
And well,
Colorado could too, but if they're both sitting everybody, take the home team. Like that should be 2 points they have. Like, I don't know.
20 flying back at intermission. Covered this.
Yeah.
Oilers, 10 points back of the first place Rangers, 80-1 to win the President's Trophy. Maybe it's worth $2. Maybe it's
anything's
not
worth $2.
As you learned with your big pre-built bet hit this
that
week.
That was nice. That was nice. Brought donuts to the office. You missed it.
No, thank you. They're delicious.
Office tradition. If you hit a big bet, you have to bring in donuts.
You got to bring in donuts
to the office
for the
next day.
Calvin Pickard voted one of the four finalists for goalie of the week last week, but playing a minimum of 3 games.
Oh, because he technically appeared in 3?
Played in
the Toronto game to end it. Yeah.
Lit up against Ottawa.
Well, Twitter would have you believe he's the worst goalie in the NHL, so...
Maybe Casey DeSmith, Jake Ottinger, and Samuel Harrison.
Wow. Just a who's who of goaltending right there.
Yeah.
The future.
Aiden brings up a good point. They won't sit Nate Mack for that final game if he's still on his home point streak. Yeah.
Oh,
they,
that's true.
They would let him get his 41. So
they'll send him home after he gets his point, though.
He'll get a point first shift and just right down the
Remember tunnel. When Connor was chasing his first 100-point season? He went and got it and like just like chilled.
I think that was against Vancouver.
It was.
There was also a game where the Oilers played the Canucks. This was Rexall Place, Decade of Darkness, where I think it was like Henrik Sedin at the end of the year. He just went out and played like 3 shifts in the first period, then sat. I think he was like partially banged up, but they wanted to keep his games played streak alive or something like that. They also did something. I remember that game. Some fans were upset because Vancouver was just doing a bunch of stuff to get awards and keep milestones going. They intentionally played both goalies half the game so they could win the Jennings.
Oh my goodness.
They like split dead on Luongo and Schneider. Yeah.
The Jennings is a tandem.
Yeah. Best goal.
Do they still offer that?
Yeah. Last year it was Boston.
But you don't see it at the NHL awards, do you?
Yeah, I don't think they officially present it because it's just stats based only, but.
Yeah. I think it's just announced like the Rocket as well.
Yeah.
Do they present now the awards?
Yeah, they do like a little video thing.
The voted ones, I guess. You don't vote on the Jennings.
You don't vote on the Jennings.
Yeah.
The Bruins have won it 2 of the last 4 years.
Totally forgot it was a thing. I only remember it from my sticker books.
Ah, that's a good pull. All right, let's continue along with the show. It's a short for Giant Game Day edition of the program. Like I said, we're going to be joined by Murat Atesh in a little bit, but let's get into our lineup report. It is brought to you by Service Credit Union, which is home to the Service Big Share Contest. It is back for a 6th year, and it is your chance at winning $1 million. You can get entries just by saving money. Every $500 you save gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share Contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for a chance to win $1 million.
I wonder how many entries Zach Hyman could have.
Wouldn't even need it. That's pocket change to him. He wouldn't care about this.
That money.
Yeah, $1 million for me, though. I'd like that. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. We got new lines at the Oilers skate today. Once again, mixing it up a bit, partially because of Andrew Kane is back in the lineup. Also, though, a change on the fourth line. Nuge, Hyman, McDavid stay together as the top line. Henrique, Draisaitl, Fogel stay together as the second line. What do we make of this top 6 here? What did we make of Henrique up there?
Oh, I think taking Carrick out against a team like Winnipeg is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. What do we make of the top 6, Liam? I asked you about the top 6. You said Carrick.
Lehman.
About a week ago, they had that quote. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Nuge. You said, like, we don't mind it when the lines get shuffled because it gives us a chance to play with other guys and, like, add a bit of chemistry there. But what was Adam Henrique brought in to be? Is he going to be a top 6 winger for you, or do you want him to try and be that shutdown guy on the third line? Because I thought that's what we were acquiring him to do. And I think Ryan McLeod is a much better winger than a forward. So I would switch both those guys, but then also like Kane, Henry, and Perry doesn't really work. I honestly would have put Kane on the first line again.
And then what do you do with Nuge?
Put him next to Draisaitl. I know maybe you do just ride McLeod there, or you switch one of those two around.
Yeah.
Put Nuge back at center between, who would that be? Perry and, oh no, Henry and Nuge and Perry. I don't know. I just don't like Kane on the third line because I think he's done well there in time.
And I don't like,
he's struggling. You need him to score a goal.
And I don't like McLeod as a center either.
I do not like
McLeod as a center.
So, Jay, we were in the building the game they did the Henrique Nuge Perry trio. And while I've been someone who complains about the lack of speed in the bottom six when you maybe don't have a guy like McLeod or you don't, Holloway hasn't been here for a while, I will say, I think that Henrique Nuge and Perry line, they think the game well enough and they play a similar enough style that they can actually be effective with their lack of speed.
Well, it's again, like look at Joe Thornton, man. Like he played so long because he's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
These are all very high IQ guys. I love that third line. Them as a third line, I should say. Yeah. McLeod, you can't have a guy who doesn't like to be in the middle of the ice playing in the middle of the ice.
Yeah, his favorite thing to do is skate the puck behind the net.
Perimeter guy. Keep him to the wing.
I don't mind a little bit of experimentation here and there, seeing if Henrique's a fit with Draisaitl, whatever, and they're sticking with these, or at least this top six for a second straight game. So, you know, we've said a few times or a lot of times since the deadline, find something and stick with it for 3 to 5 games, right?
Like, even moving Kane to the second line, putting Henrique to the third line center and moving McLeod to the wing.
I have time for that, but I don't like
that'd be interesting.
I don't like Kane and Draisaitl as a duo because there's not a lot going on defensively there. Well,
yeah. Nuge and Dry work together.
Nuge and Dry work very well.
And then you have the speed and Fogel, like, a lot different, but it is kind of like when Yamamoto played on that line, yep, that one stretch, right?
And I do like, again, that top line is so damn good that I think that, and I mean, the numbers do back it up. That top line is just as effective as loading up 29 and 97 when you go Nugent, McDavid, and Hyman. So in one hand, I get this, get a legit top line in there. On the other hand, I think Nuge, Dry, and Fogel can be good enough, opens up that third line. And Evander Kane, if we want to talk about getting the most out of him, stapling him next to McDavid isn't terrible. I know he drags down the pace of play a little bit with him, and people will point to the expected goals and the puck possession and things like that. I get that. But Connor McDavid's still going to get his at 5-on-5, regardless of if it's Nuge or Kane. And I think it makes the two lines below them strong enough that you can justify the drop in production you get from 97, because lines 2 and 3 are then so much better. You know?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I just gotta find something out of Kane here.
I don't mind the idea of making Kane and Henrique a duo. They connected on one already, and yeah, it was actually a play made by Kane.
Kane and Henrique. But then my problem is, who do you have on the right side? Like, unless you wanted to play McLeod on the left, flip Kane to the right, you're dealing with a lefty righty issue there,
mm-hmm,
but then at least you have some speed. But then, you know, that involves potentially elevating a Corey Perry to the top six, which I don't love the idea of doing. I will say that this does get a lot easier to kind of sort out if Dylan Holloway's up here, because then it's very easy to have speed on every line and to have some physicality on every line. Like, I'm just waiting for him to come back into the lineup. We'll talk quickly about the other decision that's made, and that's Derek Ryan in for Sam Carrick. You don't like that, Jay?
Not against Winnipeg. Like, that's a team that can throw us around a bit. You know, you need to have some meat there. And that's what Carrick brings. Like, what has he done to be pulled out of the lineup?
Yeah, I think they want to keep some sort of a rotation going is maybe part of it.
Then put him in the net. Like, I don't know.
If I remember correctly, he got worked in the faceoff dot last game. So it wasn't his best, or far from his best game as an Oiler. I did think he was good against Toronto, though. But yeah, Carrick in the face. Oh no, never mind. He was 60%. Ignore what I just said. He was 60%. He was fine in the face-off dot. He had 3 hits, had a shot on net. So yeah,
sounds like a pretty good afternoon.
Yeah, I think they want to keep some semblance of a rotation going where everybody gets in every couple of games in that bottom six. So I'd rather them do it tonight than against LA.
And if that is, like, if that's the logic, I can subscribe to it. I just, you know, this is, it's, like this is a big game for a lot of reasons, but it's also just like it's a measuring game. Like, how do we measure up against the Jets? Jets made two really good acquisitions. I know they're slumping right now, but they're going to be hungry to get out of a slump similar to us. So it's a kind of interesting size up game.
Yeah.
So you know, I'd kind of like us to put our best foot forward. And that is no, like I love Derek Ryan, but just I love Sam Carrick and what he brings
on the blue line. You want to move there? Do you have another take on the forward group?
No, I'm good.
The return of Nurse and CC, Troy Stetcher stays out. I'm surprised we didn't see Troy Stetcher once on this road trip.
I didn't even notice they switched to parents on the blue line. So Nurse and CC together.
Nurse and CC back together.
Reunited.
Action. Wow. Earned, not given. Totally. God, those two might, like, Nurse has not been good recently. But defensively, like, his penalty killing has been kind of brutal. CC. I don't know. So does that mean Kulak and Deion?
Darren Air back together.
Well, that's a good
pair. I think this was an easy game to get Stetcher in again.
I think they're scared to scratch CC.
Oh, I think that's apparent.
I think it's totally obvious.
Like, there's no way Chris Knobloch's watching that much different of a game than we are. If you want to call it a defense of keeping Cody CC in the lineup, it's for the penalty kill, I guess. Like, you probably don't trust Stetcher there yet. And then you run into an issue if your right side is Bouchard, Stetcher, Desharnais. Let's say one of your four PK guys, Ekholm, Nurse, Kulak, or Desharnais takes a penalty. Then you have to use one of Bouchard or Stetcher on the PK. That is the only defense. I also think people might laugh at this. You can probably trust Evan Bouchard for 65 seconds on a penalty kill.
I don't know about
that. I don't. Can you, Liam? Lehman?
But thoughts? Like, no way. Like, you, what probably, did he? How much bad?
I'm not gonna answer that.
Possibly do in one game there.
You probably could if
push comes to shove. Were the puck battles in the corner or 2-on-1?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That's the last I would person not. I want on this team.
Aiden said, "Yeah, our PK that gave up 3 goals Sunday.
Well, I mean, Sunday we sucked.
Yes,
let's just call a spade there. We sucked."
Yeah, I don't know if I would trust Boosh. So I understand the idea of keeping CC in for that reason, but also they should have thought about that when they acquired Stetcher.
They should have acquired Chris Tanev. Thoughts?
That would have been nice.
Hmm.
But with that logic too, Tyler, and I agree with it, what does this mean? They thought they were never going to get Stetcher in? Are they waiting for a Bouchard injury?
I mean, they can't wait for that, I know, though, right? Like,
if they don't trust this guy to play in minutes or Bouchard to play on the penalty kill, then you're essentially saying, like, we actually don't need you on the right side.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a fair assessment, I guess?
Yeah, that's fair.
I like it. Maybe they should play him more.
I thought, again, we're watching them do this rotation thing up front. Do that on the blue line. Like, again, they were clearly okay sitting at Vander Kane for a game, whatever the hell ended up happening with that. A coach's decision maintenance day. Like, how does that? What?
I believe it's called a healthy scratch. Actually, you know that.
We have a guest coming up, but yeah. I just downloaded a video of Kane talking to the media this morning about that scratch.
Ooh,
I want to get your instant reactions. That's why I kept throwing my AirPods here was to hear that.
How long of a video is it?
It's like 30 seconds.
Oh, it wasn't to watch a March Madness game.
No.
Okay. I appreciate your focus.
Do we want that now, or do we want it after the guest?
After
the guest. Let's get out to the Star Mechanical guest line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more information about them at starmechanical.ca. You can trust your local Star, whether it's residential or commercial, or if you need 24/7 emergency service. They've been helping Edmonton families for over 20 years, and they can help you too. Murat Atesh, our friend from Winnipeg, he writes for The Athletic, joins us, and he's rocking a toque. He's got the big sweater. Is spring not sprung in Winnipeg, Murat?
You know, it did. It teased us a little bit, and now it's on the way out. We've got winter again to welcome you guys to the city today.
Yeah, you know what the weather's like in Edmonton. It turned again. I thought we were out of it. Speaking of cold, the Oilers have lost back-to-back games. The Jets are in a weird little cold streak as well. What's been going wrong for Winnipeg over the last 3 nights?
I mean, the answer to that is a lot of things. Rick Bowness was just talking to reporters, including myself, after morning skate. And there are questions about the Winnipeg Jets' effort level right now and will and work ethic. Rick Bowness was talking a lot about how all the systems and structure talk in the world doesn't matter if the other team is hungrier than you are. And Winnipeg sort of had its butt handed to them a couple of times over the weekend, particularly by the Islanders. The Jets were outscored 5-1 halfway through the game against New York. And at that moment, the fifth goal went in. Winnipeg had 4 shots. So there are trouble. There are signs of trouble. Winnipeg's defensive structure has largely fallen apart. We can get into it because there's a lot there. But Winnipeg's reeling as Edmonton arrives today.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting. Like, last 3 games, obviously not going well. And I was just looking there. 655 points percentage on the year. But just going from, let's say, Feb 1 on, they've kind of slipped a bit behind the pace that the Stars and the Avs are on. Are the issues in these last 3 games, are they something that's maybe a bit of a concern in a longer-term trend with them?
Yeah, I think you can take it back about 6 weeks. I think that there's been a real dip in the quality of Winnipeg's play, probably from late January onward, just before the All-Star break and then coming out of it. There's been a sense about Winnipeg's game that some nights the offense comes too easily. The forwards and defense get a little bit separated as the forwards chase their next goal. The gap isn't good defensively because the defense doesn't trust the forwards to get back. The Jets are getting beat in transition an awful lot, like too much for a team that is thought to be amongst the Stanley Cup contenders and earned that right to be called that through basically the end of January. There's some real games where the Stars are scoring, but they're giving an awful lot back too. And you saw Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, Brendan Dillon, and Neil Pionk all -4, I think, at the end of that New York Islanders game. There are some good players posting some bad results right now.
How's Tyler Toffoli fit in since being acquired from the Devils?
I love that fit. He's a shoot first player. And he has a lot of different ideas for how to find himself in space because he's not that fast. That was one of them. Actually, I should have known this, but I was expecting a speedy player. I was expecting a guy who looked dangerous on the rush consistently based on his shot volume and his profile analytically. But really what he's got is not a high-end top speed. It's a first few steps that's really quick. And he's so smart about finding soft ice. He had a pair of games where he was scoring 2 goals each. He's fit in really well with Sean Monahan. Nikolai Ehlers is playing on that line as well. And I like the Ehlers-Toffoli chemistry. I think Ehlers is one of the most dynamic skaters in the offensive zone. People don't know what he's going to do. That opens up space. Toffoli finds it. And there are some dangerous passes to be had. So that's a nice looking thing for Winnipeg right now.
God, that top 9 is so good looking.
Yeah, I just think they're just in a funk. Like, just they're going to wake up.
They gotta.
It's a function of waking up for them. That's it. I'm scared tonight.
You talked about Monahan fitting in on that second line. We haven't had a chance to chat with you since they made that other big splash and big addition to their forward group. I know he was held pointless through his first 4 games with the Jets, and then he got really hot for a while. Now that Monahan's had some time to really settle in here, 20-some games in a Jets uniform, what's that impact been like? And also on the power play, I know that was an area they were hoping he'd have a big impact.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the area to focus on. Sean Monahan's impact has been biggest on the power play, and it's been biggest in the bumper position on the power play. I talked to a couple of his ex-teammates who were telling me that he is as good as anybody they've ever seen play in that center slot on the power play. Now to watch it happen, you can sort of see why. He's always shoulder checking. He knows where everybody is on the ice. So he has a plan before he gets the puck. It's not get the puck, turn towards the net, see what he's got. He knows where the shooting lanes are. He knows where his passing lanes are. He's always making little micro adjustments, half a foot this way, half a foot that way, trying to get his stick in a spot where Mark Scheifele can find it. There's a lot of good communication going there. It was the best when Gabriel Vilardi was still healthy. He won't be playing tonight because Vilardi at the goal line is just a dynamic power play quarterback from the goal line. There are a lot of slingshot passes, Scheifele, Vilardi, Monahan. That's when you saw Monahan pour in the offense. At 5-on-5, he's been fine. He's been quality. He scored a little bit. That chemistry with Toffoli is building or ongoing. But his biggest impact, I think, has been to help give the Jets power play real danger, which it hadn't had before him.
another guy I wanted to ask you about as we wrap up the talk about their forward group, and it kind of applies to a similar situation in Edmonton we've had with Dylan Holloway, where there's been a ton of talk about how do you get him back into the lineup when he's in the lineup? Are you playing him enough to be successful? Cole Perfetti is interesting because these additions on the forward group have pushed him down. And earlier in the year, I was just flipping through his game log. Yeah, like he was playing 14 to 17 minutes a night. And now you look as of late, he's had in three of his last five games under 10 minutes time on ice. How's Perfetti adapted? Is he still finding a way to be impactful in the bottom six, or is he getting lost in the shuffle a bit?
You know, a little bit of both. He was on a really long offensive slump. I think it was 23 games he went without a goal. There was an assist or two in there, but it was not the same type of production that he had to start the year. Like, you can go October to about middle of January through those game logs, and that's a great question because he's a key player for the Jets. He was producing like a top six forward, playing top 6 minutes, and it was like, geez, maybe he should be on the first power play unit instead of the second. Like, that was the sort of talk about Cole Perfetti first half of the season. Then he got into a bit of a slide. Kyle Connor comes back. Some of those minutes go away. The scoring chances start hitting posts. Then they start missing nets. And now there's a long slide, and confidence is an issue. With the additions, especially if and when Gabriel Vilardi returns to health, there's a clear top nine. There's a clear top nine, and Cole Perfetti isn't in it. But with Vilardi out of the lineup, there seems to be a chance there that the coaches aren't giving to him. And I think that's been hard for a young player. This is probably the first time he's been a fully fledged member of a team where he hasn't been in a starring role for any length of time. And I talked to him about that today, to be honest. It's been an adjustment. It's been a learning curve. And if I have to read the tea leaves of the way the coaches are going to make their decisions, it might not change anytime soon either.
Last area I wanted to hit on with you, and it's why, I mean, it's the number one reason I think to fear the Jets in any playoff series, and Oilers fans saw it firsthand during the COVID year, the Canadian Division year, sorry.
Neil Pionk,
yeah. Yes. but it's Connor Hellebuyck, and my guy Frank Saravalli has been on this big thing about Hellebuyck needs more love, and not the Vezina conversation, the Hart Trophy conversation. Frank thinks it's been that kind of a season for Connor Hellebuyck. Where do you come out on that debate of Hellebuyck being involved in the Hart, and I guess just in general, goalies being involved in the Hart Trophy conversation?
Well, I should speak plainly and say that in 2019-20, that pandemic interrupted season, when Winnipeg was just on the tail end of a playoff spot when the season was interrupted, that team defense was so bad and Hellebuyck so good, I believe he was on my Hart Trophy ballot, if not number one. Like, that team was so porous defensively. Byfuglien had just left. Trouba had been traded. Myler signed elsewhere. Chiarot signed elsewhere. It was gutted. And when a goalie has that kind of impact, I believe in a Hart Trophy vote. I really, really do. This season, I think he's been almost even better. You look at those numbers, you've got him posted up. I think he's a lock for the Vezina Trophy, barring some kind of horrid collapse down the stretch. And that's even after getting beat and getting pulled for the first time this weekend. His body of work is as good as it gets in the NHL. I think the team's defense, at least if you count the first half of the season, has been good enough that I'm not Hart Trophy voting Connor Hellebuyck. He's not going to be towards the top of that ballot, but he's been so good, and goaltenders have such impact, that if he doesn't get some votes, I do think it'll be a disservice.
Yeah, I think he'll get some love, but I think I agree with you as well. That system in front of him is so damn good. It's going to make it interesting for the Jets. Murat, appreciate you hopping on. And hey, maybe we'll get a Jets-Oilers Western Conference final. We'll have you in studio.
I would absolutely love that. Thanks for having me, guys.
See you later. See
Always a pleasure catching up with Murat Ateş on the Star Mechanical Guest Line. You can find his fantastic work.
He's good.
Over at The Athletic. He's awesome.
Just an encyclopedia of info there.
At WPG Murat on Twitter as well. Give him a follow. We tagged him in the show tweet today as well. Give him some love. I used to have him on all the time when I produced The Lowdown with Low Tide. And he was like an OG Low Tide commenter turned into a sports writer and then got the assignment.
From Edmonton?
Yeah. Or he's an Oilers fan, one of the two.
Oilers fan, hey?
Yeah, great guy. Love catching up with Murat. All right.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
As promised, before we went to our guest, we have quotes from Evander Kane. It is Sounds of the Oil, and it is presented to you by Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. Snow Valley Aerial Park opens May 31st. Rainbow Valley Campground, you can find out more about them at rainbow-valley.com. Online bookings are opening soon. This summer, take advantage of the over 60 camping sites, and 3 comfort camping domes right here in the city. Rainbow Valley Campground, if you're listening, Liam and I would like to do a show live from a comfort camping dome. I don't know exactly what that entails or what they look like, but it sounds fun.
I would love to.
Go to Rainbow Valley website.
Rainbow Valley website.
Put in the dates and book the dome.
Is this you saying I can do it?
Oh, there it is.
Showing you it's that easy.
Look at that little thing.
Oh, that looks really cool. It's like furnished in there.
Wow. It is.
Why would you not do this?
We will do one.
That is.
Pretty. How's the internet?
I don't even care. Our internet sucks on most days. Anyways, Evander Kane speaking to the media. I don't know what's coming in this clip. Give it to me. Hook it to my veins.
Getting back in after having a maintenance game or a maintenance day, a couple of games.
I feel good. I feel good, yeah.
Was it just a buildup of things that sometimes just have one game off gives you an extra few days to rest and be ready?
I guess so, yeah.
Is that it?
God, dude.
Hell yeah.
It's a non-story if he just says, yeah, I needed a night off. It's a non-story if he comes out and says pretty much anything but the way he handled that.
Oh, shit.
Well, this is the reaction I thought I was going to get.
That's why he's not on the first line tonight. I'll tell you that much for free.
I don't want to pile on.
Plays of it a little bit too, though, sometimes. Like, he had like a little smirk after both answers. And I get it. Like, I wish he had better answers for sure. But he's like, I wonder if like he just had a bit of a different conversation with Chris Knobloch. I'm defending him a bit too much. I realize that. But like,
I think he likes attention.
Oh, I think so too. But I think he also likes to play with the media a lot.
But you like
that didn't seem like a guy who was trying to play the media.
You don't think so? He had like smirks after his answers and everything.
Yeah, I think he looked mad.
Listen,
I missed the first buck that I was looking at these comfort suites.
Okay, as you should.
Okay, let's play it again.
All right, maybe I'm wrong.
Just getting back in after having a maintenance game or a maintenance day, a couple of games.
I feel good. I feel good, yeah.
Was it just a buildup of things that sometimes just have one game off gives you an extra few days to rest and be ready?
I guess so, yeah.
Where's the smile?
He did it on the end of that one.
He's like biting his tongue. He looks like perturbed by being asked the question.
Yeah. And Daryl Sutter says he shouldn't be happy about being benched. This is how a player should respond. Okay, but the team also didn't say he was benched. So, like, what's the deal?
Maybe wrong of them.
Maybe it was wrong. Maybe Chris Knobloch should have just said, we're sitting him tonight.
John Tortorella just scratched his captain the other day, whatever it was. But he didn't have a problem coming out being like, yeah, I scratched him. He hasn't been playing well.
I do also understand it a bit from Knobloch's perspective. preventing it from being a storyline that the Oilers are healthy scratching Evander Kane. It really wasn't a headline. I mean, we talked about it.
I get why Knobloch did what he did.
He's now making it seem like they healthy scratched him, and he's making it a headline about himself.
I think they should have just said he was healthy scratched in the first place and just moved on. Because at the end of the day, you take away the name as a guy who hasn't scored in 20 games or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, it's fair. West Side Shane, whatever. He better just play better and none of this matters. Shane, I am so 1,000% on board with you. If he goes out there and plays hard and goes to that and does all the things that make Evander Kane one of the most impactful players on this roster when he's at his best, I don't care.
Well,
he can do whatever kind of antics he wants in the media. It wouldn't bother me in the slightest. It's when he goes how many games without scoring a goal?
Since Arizona, whatever that was, 2020 now?
Since we were at the Mullet Arena, he has not scored a goal. It's that coupled with this, coupled with the up and down effectiveness outside of the goal column. Like, it's all of that stuff.
Another layer to this. Do you remember when he got demoted to the third line? And then the next game, who it was against? The Winnipeg Jets.
He got in a fight, didn't he?
He got in a fight with Brendan Dillon. And then he spoke. I guess that would have been the game he spoke in the intermission and was like, yeah, I only played this
one. I wasn't playing, so whatever. I thought I'd fight.
So there you go. Maybe tonight is the night we see Evander Kane come back around. I hope so. They need him.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe this is just him trying to amp himself up.
He's clearly pissed. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and whatever. If this is what he needs to amp himself up, then have at her, I guess. All right. There you go. Sounds of the Oil brought to you by Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. While we were on with Murat, am I getting ripped in the chat?
Oh, big time. Yeah.
For what?
Just being
being a Jets homer.
Oh, for being every other team homer.
Do we have the Jets lines?
Yep.
Put them up.
There we go.
Does this not look impressive to you?
Yeah, it's a good lineup.
Is Connor Hellebuyck not going to potentially unanimously win the Vezina this year?
Yeah, him on.
You're getting hurt because you wore a Vegas jersey.
That was objectively hilarious, though.
I don't know if it was.
Damn it!
to who?
I don't know. I just come on. That second line is nasty, and I haven't even once said this second line is better than the Oilers. Or this top nine's even better than the Oilers. I'm not even going that far. I'm just saying it's really damn good. That's all.
Do you think the top nine is better than the Oilers' top nine?
I'm just doing the mental checks here. No.
I think the third line is the deciding factor.
I think if the Oilers were to distribute things right, they're better.
Yes, that's
true. I think they can match that third line if it's distributed right.
Because also a third line, Appleton, Niederreiter, Lowry. Is that it?
OJ, Tyler also takes every forward defensive group over Edmonton. Find me one team I've said has a better forward group than the Oilers. Find the clip. Find it. Go back. Do your own research. Don't trust mainstream media. Don't trust what the mainstream YouTube chats are telling you. Do your own research. And you tell me if I've ever said that. I don't remember once ever saying there's a forward group better than Edmonton.
I remember
you saying something about Hyman being rich and that is why he's so good at hockey. I recall that many weeks ago.
I said there's forward groups with a larger net worth than the Oilers in terms of family wealth, but I've never said they're better. Brig asks, people want you to chant Cup Year all show, Tyler. We could do that.
That is true.
We just run a clip of me for 60 minutes just saying Cup Year over and over again.
That would be pure entertainment.
And some of you might actually stick around for that whole hour, actually, and then just immediately cut it off for an ad read like every 6 minutes. That's the whole show. All right, let's get to our game notes for today's matchup. It's brought to you by nationgear.ca, where you can get tickets to our next game day at Greta. It's in support of the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. You can get your tickets nationgear.ca. You get free swag at the door. There'll be plenty of prizes to be won, food and beverage specials and more. And as always with our game days at Greta, it goes towards a good cause. April 6th is the 6th anniversary of the Humboldt Broncos tragedy. That is something that obviously a lot of us hold near and dear to our hearts. So happy to be supporting the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund and very excited to be back at Greta for the final BOA of the season. So get your tickets now, nationgear.ca. Here's a little bit of stuff from the game notes. Again, Jason Gregor's got the full thing up at the site. McDavid joined Joe Thornton as the only player with 90 assists in a season since 2000. This was a mailbag question on Monday, and it was like, hey, is Connor McDavid not getting enough love for being or getting this close to the 100 assist mark and only being the fourth player in the league to potentially do it. I think once we get closer, this is going to become a bigger and bigger story because he is right there and he is not going to be denied.
Yeah, totally. I agree. It has been I think it's getting more and more popular.
Yeah. He has 11 assists in his last four games.
Well, the others only have two wins, so maybe he should start shooting.
Interesting take. Anyway, no one in the chat's gonna clown Liam for that.
No, they love
him. Noted McDavid agenda.
Noted McDavid hater.
Yeah. World's biggest Kucherov fan.
No, I said Kucherov wasn't even in the conversation.
Ah, okay.
I'm Nathan MacKinnon for the Hawks.
Oh, so am I. How dare you? Oh, they're going to let me have that too. Just quickly on Kucherov and MacKinnon, I suppose. Connor McDavid, 5 points back of Nate Mack, six points back of Nikita Kucherov. He has two more games to play than both of those players, though.
So if he beats him in points, should he not win the Hart? Or is it because MacKinnon has this crazy home point streak? Colorado is a good team.
I do think there's a bit of an argument.
And we are as well.
I think there's a bit of an argument to MacKinnon that he's done it so consistently this year. He hasn't really had a cold stretch outside of
but the Oilers are so reliant. Like, if we don't have McDavid and then even Draisaitl and you replace them with, I don't know, who's like Pettersson and JT Miller, we wouldn't make the playoffs.
No.
That means that fucking McDavid's a factor.
Yeah, I don't think
any Colorado make the playoffs if MacKinnon's hurt all year. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Case closed.
To argue against your point, you don't like when people call the Oilers a one-man team.
No, but we also know with how we have built this roster for some reason, we rely heavily on those two.
Yep.
Anyway, we truly don't go all in because we rely on the fact that those two are just that much better than everyone else.
It's annoying, but the Hart Trophy is also a very narrative-driven award at times. I think there's just a sense that...
I've got a narrative. Us without McDavid and Colorado without MacKinnon are two completely different teams, obviously, but Colorado's still better than Edmonton.
Yeah. That's fair. I know you had a different short for giant question, but I'll throw this out there for a game day. Give me a percent chance you think McDavid does it. Comes back points? And passes them. Passes both Kucherov and MacKinnon and wins the Art Ross.
Oh, boy.
It's a tough one, Liam.
Well, I think you asked me this a couple of weeks ago, and I said like 60%. But now it's closer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? The others really need some wins here, so I think that might...
Let me think about it
a little bit. I will say 67%.
Couldn't even just go for the nice number, eh?
What's wrong with 67?
It's about
a nice prime number, I think.
Yeah, it is. Nothing divides into 67 outside of 1 and 67.
There you go.
I'm gonna do some math here. You ready for it?
You need more prime numbers? I got a few.
You didn't get my joke about trying to pick. Anyways, which it is also, no, it's not a prime number. 3 would definitely divide into that nice number.
3 is a prime number.
You just Google prime numbers.
Is it 7 a prime number?
Okay, take
97 is a prime number.
Hey. Okay, 3 times 23.
3 times
69.
Nice.
Ding.
Math guy.
Okay, you ready? You ready for my math? I just went through my advanced analytics filter of whether Connor McDavid is going to catch up and win the Art Ross.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah, you're probably right.
100%.
Now, I think the thing too with McDavid is he very rarely just has like 1 point nights. Like he'll always.
He's been getting multi-point nights as if it's his job, and it is.
And they've got some huge games coming up.
Yes. Too. And like what has happened in big games? Yeah, well, the odd time will rely on depth scoring, but Connor shows up.
He actually has a second. He has a better points per game than MacKinnon this season. I didn't realize that. 1.75.
Weird. In games in hand, the math is just going to catch up and work itself out.
Well, Kucherov has a better points per game than McDavid and played 3 more games.
Oh, how great would it be? I mean, the thing with McDavid in the miles games in hand is he might get a day off to end the regular season. Yeah. So he maybe only has actually one game in hand. But how great would it be? Like second last game, regular season at Mullet Arena. McDavid just torches the Yotes for like six points.
I saw a thing the other day, this is something that's come up quite often this past week, because McDavid now has more assists than Jamie Benn had when he won the Art Ross that season. But I never realized how tight that race was. Like, it basically came down to the last day of the season, and Jamie Benn had to get like 4 points, something like that. And he got it on an empty net goal. He got like his last 2 points to win the Art Ross in the last 2 minutes. So we might see that with McKinnon and McDavid in that final game of the year, which would be fun.
That would be cool. You know what's actually amazing? Ovi's woken up.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we are running out of time today on the show, so we got to get to the Sherwood Power Sports and Marine keys to victory for this evening. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine now open and is the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park for all things Yamaha, which include Yamaha boats, boat motors, dirt and street bikes, ATVs, side-by-sides, and motorcycles. Check them out in the heart of Sherwood Park with that sleek all-black exterior at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Key to victory this evening. What are we going with? This is a weird one to come up with a key to victory for, because there are a lot of things I'd like to see the Oilers do better than they did on the weekend.
Keep it tight. Not within the game itself, but like on Sunday, the game was so loose once Ottawa got over the red line, and it was just like the defense was all over the place. So keep it more structured.
Tighten it up. Yeah. Tighten it up. Tighten it up big time. Wake the hell up. Yes, I think if they, and this is what will lead to my bet and logic behind my bet tonight, is just tighten it up and get a dub.
Tighten it up. Simple as that. Yeah.
That wasn't the Oilers the last two games. That's not what we've been used to in the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. So they just got to wake back up and tighten it up.
Mm-hmm. For me, I'm going to go to what we talked with Murat about. Since they acquired Sean Monahan, they have the sixth best power play in the NHL at 27.3%. Your PK has to be better tonight. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give the Jets two or three power play opportunities, which again, that's the average, you probably will give them that amount. You cannot give up two or three goals. Your PK needs to be much, much better. When you think back to the Oilers going on those long winning streaks and all that, the PK being damn near perfect was a big, big reason why. So that's from the crease on out. They need to be better on the PK tonight. That's my key to victory.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. The PK especially. They're so bad. Guys wide open. That Drake Batherson one was nuts. He just took one step and everything was available to him.
That was Calvin Pigg's fault.
Yes, that was
funny. Everything was. There's your head to head there between.
I didn't have rich parents, eh?
No, Calvin Pickard, very poor.
Couldn't push him over the hump.
Very.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that Berkshire rant, or another great part, is when he goes, Zach Hyman's parents bought him training that only rich people could perform. And then he stops. He goes, I mean, afford. And I was like, no, I like the idea that there's certain training things only rich people can actually perform. All right. Enough of that. Let's get to the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. How, you ask? Well, scan the QR code on your screen and redeem your bonus. Simply create a new account, place a bet with no minimum amount required, and if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer is only available outside of Ontario. QR code right there on your screen to create your new account with Betway. Gentlemen, Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. We got our picks in. Jay, do you hear those footsteps?
Oh God, shut up.
You're not even
gonna your bet is so weak that if you win, you probably still lose a unit.
If I win and you lose tonight, I'm ahead of you. It's the old tortoise and the hare.
Yeah. You guys really, what a battle you've had.
I can almost I'm gonna win. And it's gonna make such, and even if you win, I'm gonna take such a giant step forward.
Liam is red hot though.
Liam is red hot, but he's predictable. But I guess ride the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking winning bets. I picked Evander Kane to score last game.
Yeah, that was good.
So that didn't work out too well for me. But McDavid 2+ assists +162, the lowest I've found it. Months
catching on to us. I'm going Hyman over 3.5 shots, 20 shots in his last 4 games, hit this in 4 straight. There you go.
Just go all right. Like Hyman goal, man.
You've got, yeah, like, yeah, like
it's +1.
I'm surprised you, like that was the easy bet all weekend.
It's +1. Or just bankroll
both days, cash.
-105.
No, Hyman goal is +105.
Hyman goal. Oh, yeah.
So it's not even like you're going risky. Like, Yeah, Rick's parents.
Yeah, it must. Yeah. They allowed Liam to have betting training that the rest of us simply couldn't afford. Yeah,
you can afford it. So I can double that.
My theory is you have two teams that have been playing loose, and this is kind of like a conference matchup. So I expect both to tighten up. And so, and it always seems to be tight when we play these guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it's like a 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 type game.
You can see that. Although so, Hellebuck's been struggling as well.
It's juicy enough. Almost puts me into the positive.
Connor Hellebuck in his career against the Oilers, 3-2-1 goals against average, 905 save percentage. But in his last five games against the Oilers, those numbers jump. 297 GAA, 917 save percentage for Connor Hellebuck. Let's wrap up the show with the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio going to drop a couple of hours from now. New episode of the DFO Rundown up on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. So head over there, subscribe, consume that. That'll bring you pretty close right to when Oilers Nation Radio drops. Make sure you subscribe to both YouTubes. And over on the website, we got game notes and you have an article, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I wrote one on the playoffs picture in the Pacific and the West because there's still a very good race going on. And then I'll have something on the tape later this week.
Ooh, have you decided who the player's going to be?
No, I'm going to hunt them down on Thursday.
If you haven't caught the first two...
Shift by shift of a player.
Yeah, Liam does new shift by shift analysis on the website for players. Picks a game, breaks down one player. Very good stuff over at OilersNation.com. Also, pregame with Boardsy tonight at 5 with myself and Aaron. And then postgame with...
Zachary Lang.
Postgame with Zach Lang.
One of my good luck sweater.
Yeah, very good.
Let's go.
All right. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Big shout out to Murat Atesh for swinging by. Big shout out to all you in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat today as well. That's that'll do it for another Short Four Giant Game Day edition of the show. Frank Cervalli and Liam tomorrow on the show as well. Chat with you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.